Genesis chapter 20, the whole chapter from verse 1 to verse 18. Abraham and Abimelech. I want to look at this chapter and these events in two discourses. First, here we have the man of God, Abraham, going astray. The man of God going astray. Now, I've said it before, and I'm saying it again now. Here is another example of the honesty of Scripture. Here is this great man of God, a man of faith, a man of courage, a spiritual man, a man with whom God has made this great covenant, this covenant which will be a blessing to all the peoples on earth. This man of the promise, God has given wonderful promise to him, a marvelous man of experience. He has shown courage, faith, and God has blessed him. And yet we have this chapter, the 20th of Genesis. And it's not the first, we've had it before, something similar, when Abraham went down to Egypt. When we have an aged, experienced believer, a believer, mark that, an experienced believer, an aged, experienced believer, a mature man of God, a man of knowledge, a man of prayer. But he's repeating former sins here. He's going in the old way, that former sin, when he went to Egypt. I'm speaking to myself, brother. I'm speaking to myself, sister. And I'm speaking to you. When I say brother and sister, I mean fellow believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. This chapter is a warning to us. These things are written as warnings to us. Let us be awake. Let us be alert. Let us learn from this. I want to apply this first and foremost to myself. I don't want to stumble and fall. I'm an aged believer myself now. I do not want to fail and stumble and break the law of Christ and be a disaster, as it were, and a failure, and bring upon myself the consequences as Abraham did here. Let us learn from it. What I learn here is I don't see any prayer in this man. Here's a challenge to me. It's so easy to go through life and not really pray. He's not praying here. And he tells a pack of lies. Well, he certainly compromises with the truth. Verse 2. Sarah pretends to be, at Abraham's instigation, pretends to be Abraham's sister. Well, there is a measure of truth in it. There's some fact in it. She's his half-sister, as he explains later. Verse 12. But the truth is, he's lying. Christ called a spade, God does here. He works by reason and not by faith. Here's the man of faith walking without faith. Here's the man of faith walking by reason. Here's the man of faith judging by the wrong basis, on the wrong basis and with the wrong principle. He's judging by circumstances. He's walking by fear, not by faith. I don't see any trust here. I said to myself, in verse 11, there's surely no fear of God in this place with Abimelech. They'll kill me because of my wife and so on. He's walking by faith. He's walking by fear and not by faith. He's walking by reason. He's judging by circumstances. He's on the move. I mean, I don't see as he had any prayer about that. He's traveling and he ends up here. And he's living. The man of faith. Living by anything but faith. And he juggles the facts, as I've mentioned, verse 12. She's my half-sister, so I said she's my sister. And it's a long-standing agreement he's had with Sarah over this. Verse 13. And when God had me wander from my father's household, right back in the beginning, I said, now this is what we'll do. You know, you can show your love to me because you're a good-looking woman and I know what'll happen and they'll go for me and they'll kill me. Now, to save my life, We'll concoct this scheme, and I want you to fall in with it. The best of men, stumbling, falling. He's falling inconsistently into sin, as he did before. He that thinks he stand, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, let him take heed, lest he fall. I address any young believer listening to me. You're in danger now of sinning and compromising with the truth and lying and walking by reason and by fear and not by faith. Yes, but this danger will never go away. Middle-aged believers, aged believers, here is a warning to us. Those of us who think we stand, let us take heed lest we fall. If Abraham sinned like this in the days even before the Old Covenant, what about us with the testimony of Christ upon us and the law of Christ in our hearts and in God's Word? What about us? Let us move on to the second point. You see, these sins are not just academic points of order. Consequences come from sin. These things are practical. Small sins can lead to large consequences. Look at Sarah. Look at what might have happened to her. Look at the compromise and the danger that this plan, this scheme, this concoction brought about for Sarah. Abraham was playing with fire here, and Sarah could have paid the price. Think of the danger, the ruin to the covenant that God had just made with Abraham. Think of Isaac. Think of all the risk that is being run here for the line of descent. Think of the harm to Abimelech and his nation. God has shut up the wombs of the women, and so on. These sins, you know, do not terminate upon Abraham. Sarah's involved, Abimelech's involved, the great covenant, the purpose of God is involved. God in his sovereignty overrules, we should come to that. But nevertheless, the danger, the exposure to danger. One sin leads to another. It reminds me of the child's poem that Isaac Watts wrote. When first we're tempted to deceive, oh, what a tangled web we weave. The innocent, inverted commas, they are brought down also with the guilty. Illness, affliction, sorrow, loss, danger. What a list this is. Here's the man of faith, the man who's to be a blessing in the world, actually proving to be a curse and a risk and a danger. And a pagan, I mark you, a pagan rebukes him, verse 9. You have done things to me that should not be done, verse 9. A pagan telling the man of faith some home truths about right and wrong. This man of God, this aged, experienced believer, this man of faith, here dishonors God, brings disgrace to the name of God, and much danger and harm and risk to a whole host of people, and even the glorious purpose and covenant of God. My friends, these are warnings to us who are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. We live in the days of the new covenant. We have the Spirit. We have the Word of God. And yet we can still stumble and fall. And we bring shame upon the name of Christ. We all know of names we could put forward to demonstrate what I'm saying. But my friend, I'll be honest with you. I'm applying it to you, yes, but I'm applying it to myself. I must take heed, lest I fall. I must be a man of prayer, and not walk by fear, but by faith, trusting in God, obeying God, not compromising with the truth, and living for God right to the very end. Well, I'll take up again this chapter in the next discourse, but for now I leave it there. The man of God sins. and the risk and the danger and the harm he causes by it. Let us learn from this passage the honesty of Scripture. God has written it for our purpose, my friends. These are examples to us. Here is a negative example, but may we learn from it. This is a word for us who are believers. Unbelievers, see, God is honest in his word. You won't get away either. If God so deals with us and marks our sin and understands us and challenges us and reproves us, if judgment begins at the house of God, where will the ungodly, where will you appear? We have food for thought here, the believers, but so do you, unbeliever. We have to think about this chapter and apply it. I urge you, unbeliever, to do the same. God is speaking to you. He sees your every sin. I've told you again and again, I repeat it here, there is only one way to wash away sin, the blood of Jesus Christ. Apply to him now, and trust in him and his finished work, and have peace with God. These are the lessons I see, at least in this first discourse, from Genesis chapter 20.